10 guys on the field.
Third down and 7. This one is launched from McLaurin. He's got it. Touchdown. Touchdown, Terry McLaurin.
What a night. Jaden Daniels put on a show. Let's hope it's the first of many to come. Good morning. He's really the lead story, but in many ways, there is a co-lead to last night. I mean, there is plenty to discuss, and we will get to all of it when it comes to his first signature game. Again, hope last night was number one of a lot more to come. But as great as he was, let's not completely bury the other part of the headline, the co-lead to this story. And that is Washington beat Cincinnati last night 38-33 to get to 2-1 on the season. It's early. I know as much as anybody else does how week to week and how fleeting this league and the results on Sundays and Mondays and Thursday nights can be. But you know what they're doing right now? They're doing what Eddie Jordan once professed. They're harvesting some early nuts. Their offense, if it's as dynamic and capable as it has appeared to be over the last two games, they're going to have a chance at a season, boys and girls, at a season. As my good friend Zabe used to say, let's go have ourselves a season. This isn't about block building or rebuilding down the road. You know, we just want to get better each week. No. Last night was a conversation changer. They're good enough on offense to win games. Not just good enough, okay, on offense. What they did last night and the week before is historic stuff. No punts, no turnovers, and points on 13 straight drives. I don't count the last drive against Tampa Bay. They were down by 23. Tampa had their reserves in. They were playing soft. In meaningful moments over the last 2 weeks, they have not come off the field without scoring points. This could change. You know, it always does in the NFL. But they've got something going offensively. The season is in play because of what they can do on offense. Let's at least for the moment stop talking about rebuilds and building blocks for 2025 and enjoy the ride they might be taking us on right now. I know they're not very good on defense. That's for sure. Not through 3 weeks anyway. And there aren't any real signs that it's going to get any better in the coming weeks. I mean, Houston, we do have a problem on defense. But at the same time, this team is going to be in games and win games if the offense scores every single time it takes the field. I know that they will punt eventually. They will eventually turn the ball over. But my God, do they have a star right now, early in the season, his first season at quarterback? I think personally, as most of you know, this star is going to shine brightly, not just in the weeks and months ahead, but the years ahead. We've got plenty of time to get to his night. But let's also not ignore that last night was a legit changing of the discussion for this year. We can slow roll for now. The 4-13, the 5-12, the 6-11, maybe even the 7-10s. For now, anyway. Things happen in the NFL, and last night, I know, could have been the high point. But I doubt it. They have a chance to be pretty good right now. I'm not saying Super Bowl. I'm not saying NFC title game. I'm not saying multiple playoff wins. You know, when you have a defense as bad as this one has played in the first 3 weeks of the season, you can't contend for anything major. But I am saying, when it comes to one of those 7 playoff berths, in their conference, the NFC, why not us? Why not Washington? With that said, I do understand last night was not just about the immediate and the potential that they have here to go out and have a decent season. It's also a night where you can really let your imagination run wild about the future. Because when a quarterback does what Jaden Daniels did last night, you immediately think you are watching the beginning. You know, that there are many more nights like this. Like, imagine when he really gets it. Imagine when he really understands the offense. Imagine as he gets older and he's able to dissect things even faster, you know, and make, you know, even more good plays and smart plays. You know, look, I'm not going there, but we know that there was a shock and awe performance in 2012, and it didn't lead to anything future-wise. It was just a moment. There were several that season, but ultimately, injuries and a lot of other things derailed it. But oh my God, Denton, how good was Jaden Daniels last night? How good, just in general, was the offense last night? I hope Austin Eckler's okay. He is a major part of what they did last night and what they did last week. Not to mention, how about him on kickoff returns? I love what they have done the last 2 weeks in particular offensively. We talked a little bit about the Tampa game in that maybe some of the results masked what they were trying to do and trying to accomplish, and maybe some of the things that were there and were open. Last night offensively, 6 drives, 6 scores, no punts, no turnovers, 5 of 9 on 3rd down, 3 of 3 on 4th down. And here's something, and I'll get into this in more detail, and I'll explain it when I get to my game take. But they had 356 total yards. That's not like an outrageous number of yards in a game. But they only had the possibility of 380 yards, considering they had the ball just 6 times. And when you looked at the starting field position, the number of yards they could cover going forward, it was 356 they got out of 380. That's pretty good, I'm sure. Over the last 2 games, Washington, as mentioned, 13 of 13 when you exclude kneel downs. They just became the only team since 2000 to score on every drive in multiple games. I mean, at this point, they can consider making Tressway inactive on Sunday in Arizona. Kidding, of course. Not bad for a college offense. Thank you, Cam Taylor, Britt. What a fool. Because watching NFL football over the last 10-plus years, college offense has become part of pro offense. And we got a lot of college in our offense, and I love it. 38-33 last night in Cincinnati, a game that the Bengals desperately needed. Can't go to 0-3. You know, the 0-3 numbers, we know what they are. Those may change in the coming years because of 17 games and because of an expanded playoff field. But still, the Bengals needed it last night. And they had no chance to get stops against Washington's offense. But how good are they offensively? Or is it a combination of how good they are offensively, how bad Washington is defensively? But that is a marquee early season win. For the 3rd straight week, the largest underdog on the board won the game outright. And they did it with a star performance that I guarantee you has executives at Fox, at CBS, but most importantly, at NBC and at Disney, ESPN, looking at their schedule the rest of the way, saying, all right, where are our flex opportunities with Washington to get them into Sunday night games so that we can feature Jaden Daniels? And by the way, remember, there is flexibility on Monday night games later on in the season. I found myself, Denton, last night looking ahead, primarily to November. You know, Washington does have a Thursday night game in Philadelphia on November 14th. November 14th, they've got a Thursday night Amazon Prime game. Now, you can't get flex to that spot. But once you get beyond that game, there are possibilities. And typically, you look at the 1 o'clock games. Maybe the week before, November 10th, Pittsburgh in Washington. Dallas, Sunday, November 24th, probably not, because the Cowboys play Thanksgiving Day that next Thursday. So typically, the Cowboys are not going to be in a Monday night or a Sunday night spot when they've got to play 4 days later. They got a game at the Superdome, December 15th, 1 o'clock scheduled right now on Fox. How about Sunday, December 22nd against Philadelphia? How about Kirk comes to town, December 29th? What if that's a big game in the NFC? They close at Dallas. Yeah, you can start to think about those things because you've got a star, at least a perceived star, right now at quarterback. All right. I'm buzzing. I mean, could not go to sleep last night after the game. Denton, every, you know, press conference, every interview, watched it until late night last night. Couldn't wait to get in this morning. This is one of the more incredible games this franchise has had in a long, long time. I really think you almost have to go back to the last time this team really captured the attention of the town. I don't know if last night will do it, but it would be some of the RG3 games. It would be the New Orleans game. It would be that Minnesota game. It would be the late season run, the giant game on Monday night, the season finale against the Cowboys, the playoff game against Seattle. All due respect to my guy. You know who? Kirk. They had some big games in 2015 and 2016. Not really the same thing as when you have somebody with kind of the charisma, which is all wrapped up into the game he plays, not necessarily his personality. You know, Tiger Woods' game is charismatic. He himself isn't. I'd much rather have the former. What'd you think?
This is the most excited I've been to come to work since we've been working together. Last night was awesome. And, you know, I was driving home after doing the Burning Eagle Game Day Live on the Team 980 106.7. And I was thinking, I was reminiscing, if you will, because remember when there was, in like the months of March and April, where it felt like every 4 days you would start the show off with an email about somebody complaining about us talking too much about Jaden Daniels? And now we're seeing why we talk so much about him, because you watched him go into a tough environment. I'm not going to say hostile. I don't know that Cincinnati is a hostile environment, but it's a tough environment going up against a team that was exceptionally desperate, and that defense could not stop him. There was not a, even when they went for it on fourth downs, it got to the point where towards the end of the game, I just expected them to convert on that. And I don't know that I've ever felt that as a fan, where the expectation is they're going to make this work. Because you trust that the guy who's playing quarterback is going to make the right decision and they're going to get a first down. And I do think moving forward, you're going to see them continually go for it on anything shorter than fourth and four because they trust Jaden Daniels. That was awesome to see last night. And then that final drive, Kevin, how many times over the past, I don't know, like 20 years, when you get to a second and 20, all right, you, like, throw the punter out there now. Second and 20, you're too far behind the change. Penalties, sacks, like, get Tressway out there. Just let's just try and pin him. Right. And then he just marched. Not only did they overcome that, they ended up scoring a touchdown. And by the way, they ate up nearly 8 minutes of clock on that drive to give Cincinnati next to nothing to deal with in an effort to score twice, which they end up scoring pretty easily.
7 minute, 32 second drive.
Insane.
I mean, but you know, you brought something up, and I'm going to talk about it when I get to the game take. You know that you've got an offense when penalties, and they didn't have many, they only had two on offense, but they both came on that game-clinching drive. And they were in a first and 15. They overcame that in two plays, the first and 15. Then they were in a second and 20, and they overcame that three plays later. Like, those kinds of down and distances, for the significant majority of teams, are drive killers. And to their credit, they just have the ability to get chunk yardage. Not just sideways passes last night. There were plenty of deep shots. Oh, did we tell you that he throws a really good deep ball? Yeah, look, we all make predictions, and we're all wrong just as much as we're right. We're probably more wrong than we are right, especially when it comes to, you know, high-profile players, quarterbacks in particular. And it is too early after 3 weeks to declare, hey, they found their guy. But you wanted, when you came into this season, nights like last night, because those are the nights that add them up over 17 in the first season, and you're going to come to the conclusion that they got it right. Remember this, though. You know, the number one concern for me was never talent, skill set. It was always, can he hold up physically with that frame? Does he have a lot of the intangibles? We're starting to see the latter portion sort of come to a realistic and very positive conclusion on the intangibles. We've been hearing about those, the secret sauce with him since back in May. All right, let's take a break. Our morning, all morning long, is presented by our good friends at T-Mobile. T-Mobile, head to it right now at T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro. Phone lines will open, but not for a while. We will definitely give all of you guys a chance to weigh in. Ben will join us. We'll get what it was like in the locker room last night. Kevin Sheehan Show, the day after, the morning after, one of the more memorable wins and memorable performances in recent franchise history. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Going to have to score some points tonight. Daniels lets it go for the first down and plenty more. McCaffrey is short of the touchdown, but the rookie got 30 yards on fourth and two.
How about that play, fourth and two? We talked last week that McCaffrey was getting open, that he was getting separation, and Jaden just couldn't find him. But on that first drive, on the first big decision, fourth and two, down 7-0, needing really to answer. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that any play in this game was crucial, because bottom line was they really weren't going to be stopped offensively, even if they got stopped on that play, or even if they chose to kick a field goal on that play. But Luke McCaffrey nearly scored. What a good job after the catch. Was a little bit strange on that play in that there were like two receivers in the same general area. That is a true tiny nit to pick. All right, let's get to the game take. What I liked, what I did not like, and a few other observations. And then we'll get some of Denton's thoughts on top of what I'm going to mention. And then we'll give you guys a chance to weigh in as well. If you are just waking up and walking out of a tunnel, or a cave, Washington beat Cincinnati last night 38-33 in a game in which they did not punt, they did not turn the ball over, and they just scored every time they had it. They are 2-1, and they are currently atop the NFC East. What I liked. Well, it would be easy to just start with Jaden Daniels, but I'm going to just start with the offense overall. As mentioned, six opportunities. Like last week, they only had seven drives. This week, they only had six drives. Like that's so hard in an NFL game to have that number of opportunities. I mean, the Bengals didn't punt either. It was the first game since 1940 in the NFL. All right, I can do that math. That's 84 years of playing football. It was the first game with no punts and no turnovers. Amazing. There were 52 first downs combined in the game. But think about that. Seven possessions last week, six this week. They haven't punted. They haven't turned the ball over. They've scored on every drive. Obviously, this week, five touchdowns and a field goal versus last week, seven field goals. How about 5 of 9 on third down, 3 of 3 on fourth down? As I mentioned in the opening segment, just, I don't know if you're going to hear this anywhere else, and I don't know if I've ever seen it sort of presented like this. I just started thinking when I saw the total yardage, 356 yards is just okay, but wait a minute. They didn't punt. They didn't go backwards. And when you're looking at a game like last night, you look at, well, what's the most amount of yards they could have gained? Well, you go to the starting field position for those six drives. You add out, you add up how many yards it took from that starting field position spot to the end zone. They started at their own 30. They started at their own 38. They started at their own 25. Then they started at the plus 33, Cincinnati's 33, in the third quarter after the Austin Eckler 62-yard kickoff return. And then their last two drives, they started at the 30 and they started at the 30. So that's 380 yards possible. Now, penalties actually back it up. And then, you know, that's penalty yardage. And you can now gain a little bit more. So they had 10 yards total in offensive penalties. So that's 390 total yards that were out there possible for them. They got 356 of the 390 that were possible. That's 91.2% of the yards out there they got. I think that's good. Really good. Cliff Kingsbury deserves a ton of credit for what he's leveraging in his quarterback's ability to threaten a defense. There is tempo. There is no huddle. There is quasi-huddle. There are multiple formations. There are under-center plays, pistol plays, shotgun plays. There's definitely an ability, and this is one of the things that everybody that followed Cliff Kingsbury, whether it was in college or in the NFL, there's definitely an ability to understand defenses and to scheme people open. And that has happened in really the first 3 weeks of the season. There's not a pass-happy element to him. He is using his quarterback as a run threat, and they are running the you-know-what out of the football here to start the season. Last night wasn't what last week was necessarily, but still they averaged with their running backs and quarterbacks close to 4.5 yards per carry. Cincinnati really was hell-bent last night on not giving up 200-plus yards on the ground, and they got shredded in other ways. But offensively, they are rolling here over the last 2 weeks. And let me just say two things. One, the Giant defense has talent and is schemed up pretty well. Cincinnati's defense was banged up and vulnerable last night, but they are schemed up pretty well. So it's not Baltimore or Cleveland, and they're going to see those two teams coming up here in a few weeks. And there are other excellent defenses on their schedule, including Pittsburgh, including New Orleans down the road. The Eagles certainly played some good defense on Sunday, even though they really didn't play great defense Monday night. I don't know what their defense is going to be like, but there will be other challenges. But so far, so good here through three games with the new offensive coordinator. The offense, unstoppable now for two straight games. And last night, by the way, how about a little bit of a golf clap for red zone efficiency? Last week, 0 for 6, not good. This week, 3 for 3. Next up on the list of things that I liked, certainly the quarterback. So let's start with the numbers. 21 of 23 for 254 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. He has yet to throw an interception this year. He rushed for another 39 yards and a touchdown. He accounted for 3 total touchdowns and 293 total yards. 293 he accounted for of, as I mentioned, the 390 that were possible. Always keep that in mind. You know, it's so if this is going to be a low possession team because they aren't really stoppable because they almost have 4 downs as long as the field position's decent because they feel so confident in their quarterback to go out and make a play on 4th and makeable. You know, you're looking at, you know, how many yards were out there? Well, of the 390, when you factor in the 2 false start penalties, he had 293 of those yards. You know, remember at one point during the offseason, somebody asked him, you know, to describe his game. It was an early press conference, Denton, and he just said, yeah, go check the Florida game out. The Florida game from last year down in the swamp, he had 606 yards of total offense and 5 touchdowns. It was pretty much the game that clinched the Heisman Trophy. It's one of the greatest single performances by a quarterback that you've ever seen. 234 yards rushing, 372 or whatever it was passing. Now, you can't really do that at the NFL. There aren't as many possessions. But last night, when someone may ask him in the future, so tell me about what your game is professionally. Yeah, go check out the Cincinnati game. His 91.3% completion percentage is an all-time rookie quarterback record, 21 of 23. He also became the first quarterback in NFL history to throw for at least 2 touchdowns, run for at least 3 touchdowns without throwing an interception in his first 3 games as a starting quarterback. What we've seen is historic. Last night, though, specifically historic with the 21 of 23. Jaden Daniels has been pretty good in his first 2 starts. He was pretty good in his first 2 starts. Last night was his early career coming out party. He was extraordinary. He missed some things, you know, in particular early in the game. And after, you know, everybody gets their hands on the All-22 and starts playing film expert, you'll notice some things that he missed, you know. But can I just say this? Aikman was a bit nitpicky early in the game. He's a quarterback, and I don't think he was wrong about anything he was saying, but he seemed to be glossing over some of the really good plays that were made. I think even the best quarterbacks, when they get into the room with their OC and their quarterback's coach on a Monday after a game, they're like, yeah, you could have gone here. You know, sometimes coaches, and I remember Jay Gruden talking this way a couple of times about the quarterbacks he had. It was like, I schemed up the perfect one to Jordan Reed. Now, he came over here and he made a really good play on a throw to Pierre, but the bigger play was to Jordan Reed. I think that happens with all quarterbacks. But specifically, last night, there were a couple of things. You know, last night early, he missed Noah Brown on a 3rd-and-1 where he took a sack. Noah Brown was wide open. Early in the game, second drive, I think he missed Sinnott on a 2nd-and-4 shotgun bootleg. On the 1st-and-10 where Terry's defender fell down, I mean, that's a moment, right? You know, he missed Terry in that opener against Tampa. He missed a couple of players off schedule against the Giants. And there it is, versus, you know, all-out pressure, under pressure, and Terry's defender falls down, and he is wide open for a touchdown. And he not only airmailed that ball, that thing was closer to the first row than it was to Terry. By the way, a really good sign that you don't even let that come close to rattling you, especially with the talk of Terry And of course, we know what happened a little bit later on in that drive, or the next one. I forget which one it was. So he may have missed some things, but look, this is a guy who led an offense that scored 38 points on six drives. Six drives, 38 points, five touchdowns, and a field goal. Seriously. When you don't punt offensively, I said last week, yeah, I'd like to see some touchdowns in the red zone too. But if you tell me that every Sunday you're not going to punt and you're not going to turn the ball over, sign me up. You're going to win most of those games. And then there's just the idea, clutch-wise. Last week delivered with the throw to Noah Brown. This week on that final drive, overcoming a first and 15 and then a second and 20. And then, of course, clinging to a five-point lead after, you know, Cincinnati down 31-20, I think went down the field in about 3 seconds to score. Third and seven, and he takes an absolute mauling of a hit. That ball that he threw to Terry McLaurin, go watch the replay. For those that say, oh, pressure to sack percentage, he doesn't throw with anticipation, he doesn't process. Terry's on the 19-yard line when the ball leaves his hand. He's on the 19. You know where he caught it? About 6 or 7 yards deep in the end zone. That is called processing and throwing with anticipation and throwing with accuracy. Could the throw have been any better? Terry makes a great play to get not only a foot but a knee in bounds as well. It landed perfectly in his hands. Second straight week, he's delivered with his arm in the pocket in the clutch. Last week to Noah Brown on the final drive, 34 yards. This week, 27 yards and a touchdown to Terry McLaurin. This will go down as one of the better quarterbacked games in franchise history. Not for a rookie, for anybody. Bear with me, okay? I'm not putting it into the conversation with Doug Williams and what he did in Super Bowl 22. You know, I'm not putting it into the conversation of Mark Rippon's record-setting 6 touchdowns against the Falcons in the 91 season. You know, it may not have even been, you know, the RG3 game against New Orleans or the RG3 game on Thanksgiving in 2012 or Sonny Jurgensen games or Kirk Cousins games in 15 or 16. Brad Johnson owns the franchise record for yards in a game. 1999 in a game that clinched a playoff berth in San Francisco, Brad Johnson threw for 471. Nobody's ever thrown for that many. I think Cousins is second. Theismann had a few 400-yard games as well. And, you know, there are games you could pick from his MVP season in 83. But last night being the first big spot for this quarterback to watch him come through and shine the brightest on the biggest NFL stage he's been on. He's been on much bigger college stages. His passer rating was 141.7. His overall QBR, 93. I went back very late last night, and I tried to find the highest QBR game. You got to go back to you-know-who in 2015 and 2016 to find an overall higher QBR game than the one that he delivered last night. And what made last night special is it was kind of the first time watching him do the Jaden Daniels thing. Because I know a lot of you don't watch a lot of college football. So you watch the highlights, and that's fine. But you have to be watching the game and get the context of what it was like, you know, last November in Tuscaloosa when he put on an absolute show against a great defensive team on the road against Bama. What he did at Missouri on a Saturday afternoon when they were down double digits and he was banged up. What they did against Florida, what they did against Texas A&M. You got to see him do his thing. It is thrilling to watch him play. He threw it when he needed to throw it. He ran it when he needed to run it. He ran and threw it last night. That was the next step, right? The next progression. keep your eyes down the field. Did a couple of times as he got outside the pocket, throwing to McCaffrey, throwing to Ertz, throwing to Terry. The runs, they were designed runs. They were option runs. He was under center. He was in shotgun. He was in pistol. He threw screens. He threw over the middle. He threw deep. He extended plays. He threw the ball, you know, on the move. He did it all. And, yeah, he missed things. All quarterbacks do, especially in their third game. He never looked worried either. That is definitely a defining characteristic of the first three games of his pro career, but was always there in every college game. He just doesn't appear that the moment is, or the stage is going to be too big for him. He's smiling. He's laughing. He's poised. He's calm. He's cool. The 55-yarder that led to the touchdown to Terry in the first half that gave him a 21-10 lead, that came a drive after he missed Terry badly. He didn't care. The 27-yard touchdown pass with just over 2 minutes to go, finishing the Bengals off. I mean, he made big fourth down throws to McCaffrey in the first half, to Ertz on the final game-clinching drive. And then he kept it on another fourth down, read option, run first down. The whole thing starts with him as a run threat on every play. It doesn't matter if he's under center, which he was at times, or in pistol, which he was at other times, or in shotgun, which he was, I think, most of the time. The defense has to account for Jaden Daniels as a runner, and not just a runner, but a runner who can make your defense look silly. And then after you account for him as a runner, you have to account for him as a passer from the pocket, outside the pocket. Excellent screen thrower. Don't underestimate how good he throws those bubble screens or those swing passes behind the line of scrimmage with velocity, with a lead, creating the yak, the yards after catch opportunity. He throws outside the hashes. He throws over the middle. And of course, what we talked about all offseason, he's an elite deep ball thrower. Every skill set he has is close to kind of high level to elite level. And it all fits with today's game. Bear with me here. Let me just mention that again. Every skill he has, every talent he has, is high level, if not elite level. And it fits with today's NFL game. Not to mention he's got a coordinator who understands how to utilize all of it. So it's always been with him about two things more than anything else. One, can he stay healthy with a physical frame that appears to be kind of slight? That's always been my number one concern going back to well before the draft. And then two, the things we didn't know about, we don't know about, because we don't get to sit down and talk to the people. We don't get to do the due diligence. We don't get to do the interviews. Does he have the other stuff? The intangibles, the work ethic, the processing, the football IQ, the team first mentality, the leadership ability, the confidence combined with humility trait. Is he a killer competitor like the real good ones usually are? It's never really been about his skill and talent if you watched him. He's the most talented and skilled quarterback that stepped onto a field wearing a burgundy and gold jersey in a long, long time. It's the other stuff. And the other stuff, through three games, looks promising. But we got a long way to go. Jaden Daniels, number two on the list of things that I liked. Offense, Jaden Daniels. We could stop right there, but I'll continue. I thought last night, honestly, and bear with me on this one, that the overall intensity and urgency of the team, all three phases of the team, was outstanding. And I understand that from a production standpoint, the defense was once again bad. Okay, but I thought they were urgent. They were flying around. This is what Quinn promised all offseason. Our identity is going to be a team that competes, that plays hard, that plays physical, that plays fast. I saw that even on defense last night, even though it wasn't a very good defensive performance. It wasn't from a lack of effort a lack of urgency, in my opinion. By the way, that goes for special teams, too. Did you see that Jeremy Reeves tackle on a kickoff? I will also mention that I think their strategy clearly is to play coverage on kickoffs, because they had in the game, right, 6 scores plus another 7 kickoffs, 5 of them were returned. You know, I don't think it's that Austin Seibert can't kick it into the end zone for a touchback. I think it's that they would rather try to stop the team from getting to the 30-yard line. And look, every advantage they can get field position-wise, which, by the way, is one of, you know, Dan Quinn's Tell the Truth Monday, you know, categories, field position. With that defense, you don't want to hand the ball to the other team at the 30 over and over again if you think your coverage unit on special teams can stop them short of the 30. But I thought the intensity, the urgency, the flying around, I saw that from the jump last night. All three phases, including the defense, which was not very good. Other things that I liked. Let's go to some individual performances other than Jaden's. Austin Ekeler, man. I mean, 119 all-purpose yards last night, and he barely played in the second half after the 62-yard kickoff return. I hope he's okay. I hope they're not without him for a long time, because he is a big part of what they are doing right now. It started with him, by the way, on the first drive of the game. 3 of the first 4 offensive plays. Ekeler, right tackle for 8 yards on the first play from scrimmage. Then it's Ekeler, you know, on a short pass for 8 yards. Then it's Daniels to Ekeler for another 14 yards. Then he had the 24-yard touchdown run on their second drive to give him a 14-7 lead. He's got quickness. He's got vision. He never takes a square hit. He is a tackle breaker, but very subtle one. The defense loaded up last night to stop Brian Robinson Jr. and the run game out of the read option looks and other looks. They did a pretty good job with that, but Ekeler was an absolute significant, you know, contributor to what they were doing offensively last night. His overall 119 all-purpose yardage game last night included 62 on the kickoff return. What a threat that's going to be with Ekeler back there on kickoffs. 3 rushes, just 3 for 35 yards, 11.7 yards per carry, 24 on the touchdown. And he had 2 catches for 22 yards on just 2 targets. He was outstanding in the game. Terry McLaurin. Big time. I told you he wasn't going to stick at 4.9 yards per reception. That was not going to hold up. They were going to connect on some of these deep shots because Jaden is a great deep ball thrower. He is. He's now averaging 11.6 yards per reception. Sound a little bit better? 12 receptions, 139 yards. Look, that first 55-yarder was such a beauty. And he split bracket coverage. Outstanding job. And then the catch he made for the touchdown was about as good as it gets in the NFL. That's a perfect throw, no doubt. But Terry looks it in and then has the ability to not only get a foot down, but know that the second foot isn't going to get down. So he's got to do the 1 foot, one knee thing, or the one knee thing equals 2 feet. And he got the knee down and survived the ground on the catch. Outstanding play by Terry McLaurin. 4 catches, 100 yards. You have to be thrilled for him. It's funny because they were talking about it early, and then when he was wide open when the defender fell down and Jaden missed him, I'm like, oh, God. I mean, they're going to kill Jaden this week if Terry ends up with another 2 catches for 12 yards or 6 yards, because he was wide open again. Now, that first one, the defender completely falls down. I think he's going to beat the defender anyway. Noah Brown's on the list of things that I like. How about the addition of Noah Brown? He gets separation. He has become a bit of a favorite for the quarterback, no doubt. 3 catches, 29 yards last night, to follow 3 catches, 56 yards in his first appearance last week. He's got some size to him. He's got some real good change of direction in his route running and some wiggle. Noah Brown, outstanding. Luke McCaffrey, 3 catches, 44 yards last night, including that first big one. He was open last week. He is a good route runner. He's got some speed. He's got some size. He's got some hands. Big night for Luke McCaffrey. He makes the list of things that I like. So does Zach Ertz. 5 catches, 38 yards on 5 targets. He did get punched out on one of them, the fumble that Biadasz ended up jumping on. I think it was Biadasz. But Ertz has become a go-to for Jaden, and that fourth down play, wow, on the final drive. Plenty of separation, and Jaden put it in there. There was something beyond skill position players on offense that I think deserves some kudos, and I'll get to that. And there was one, actually 2 plays defensively that I thought were significant in the game on what was, other than those 2 plays, a pretty bad night again defensively. We'll continue with my game take when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Massive win for the Commanders last night, 38-33 on the road in Cincinnati on Monday Night Football. The Commanders scored on every possession. It's been 14 straight drives, excluding kneel downs, that have resulted in points. They became the first team in nearly 25 years to score on every drive in consecutive games. Jaden Daniels, 21-23, 254 yards and a touchdown, 2 touchdowns. He had a rushing touchdown as well. Terry McLaurin caught 4 balls for 100 yards and a touchdown. The other Monday night game, the Bills demolished the Jaguars 47-10. Josh Allen, 23-30, 263 yards and 4 touchdowns. The Bills are 3-0, while the Jaguars drop to 0-3. And that's what's trending.
I've got to be there for him and encourage him.
Yeah, he's always been impressive to talk to. Here's Eckler. He's been impressive tonight, to the end zone for the touchdown, Commanders. He was a touchdown machine with the Chargers. And Dan Quinn's Commanders take their first lead of the night.
Concussion protocol last night. We'll get an update from Ben Standick at 12. Eckler on the list of things that I liked. It started with just the offense overall. Look, 2 weeks, historic results in terms of drive productivity. They haven't punted. They haven't turned the ball over in 2 straight games. That just doesn't happen. And last night, the game was the first since 1940 that didn't feature a punt or a turnover. I meant to mention, too, with Jaden Daniels, who was clearly on the list of things that I liked last night, 2 things. Number one is he protects the football, even though he plays very dynamically and with great, you know, sort of risk-taking at times. But I think it's very smart risks that he typically takes as a runner. I also wanted to mention that, see, if you watched him last year, you know he can slide. That was a nice slide last night on that one run in particular. So Eckler, McLaurin, Noah Brown, Zach Ertz. How about the offensive line here? You know, this is one of those things when you're, you know, you watch the game and you don't have the all 22 yet, and not that we really know what we're looking at in the all 22 anyway. But you almost have to go to the coaches to really understand, based on responsibilities on a given play, who played well. But you can't stay on the field without punting for 2 straight games unless your offensive line's doing at least a decent job. They mauled people last week in the run game. I think this week, I thought they did a pretty good job all night long. I thought Tyler Biadasz in particular stood out at center. I think Allegretti and Cosmi had moments on the Eckler run. Allegretti does a phenomenal job. Cosmi does a really good job. I think the offensive line, because of coordinator and quarterback, and by the way, new personnel, is no longer anywhere near the top of chief concerns. I thought they had a good night. Special teams-wise, another made kick from Austin Seibert. He's now 8 for 8. Jeremy Reeves, outstanding on kick coverage. And Austin Eckler, a 62-yard kickoff return. You know, I was looking at I mentioned before that they seem to be intent on not kicking touchbacks. You know, they feel like their coverage units can do a decent job if they kick it in the field of play. Cincinnati started one drive at their 29, another at their 23, another at their 30 on a touchback, and another at from the 30 on a touchback. Then it was their 22, it was their 30, and it was their 30 on the last one. So Washington's the average starting field position post kickoff is pre 30-yard line. That's what you want out of this thing. If you get that, then kicking and going down and covering it is going to be the choice for them. Good job out of the special teams. Defensively, there was one stretch of football that stood out to me that made the good list, because everything else that I have to talk about in terms of my game recap focuses on another wretched night defensively in terms of the production. And that was the Bengals' second drive. They're moving it down the field again. They're gashing Washington with the run. And there is a second down and 11. It's the last play of the first quarter. By the way, Cincinnati did not have to stop the football. And Mikey Sanristil sniffs out a screen to Chase Brown. Love Chase Brown out of Illinois. Talked about him before. He's a back. They don't have a guy as good as Mixon, but Brown's pretty good. You're going to see him featured more and more as the season goes on in Cincinnati. I have him, by the way, on my fantasy team. But Sanristil sniffs it out. This is what he is. He's a playmaker. He's instinctual. And he sniffed that one out and smacked Brown, incomplete, third down and 11. Not that that's a given for this defense to get off the field. But the first play of the second quarter, Burrow's looking deep left side for Gesicki. Butler's in coverage, trailing a bit. And here comes Jeremy Chinn over to knock the ball out of Gesicki's hands. And hallelujah, you have a stop. You got a field goal attempt. You know, the defense forced a lot of, they didn't force any field goal attempts last week except for the one that the punter had an extra point. But Evan McPherson, who had not missed inside 50 in 29 attempts, comes onto the field and misses a field goal. That is huge. In a game in which you're probably not going to get off the field defensively without giving up points, that missed field goal, those two plays that led to it, made my good list. Because Washington took over, they took the lead, they had a lead in a game in which they didn't receive the opening kickoff, and teams weren't going to get stopped. All right, let's get to the list of things that I did not like. It just starts defensively overall. Again, I want to emphasize, I didn't think it was a lack of effort or urgency. I thought they were flying around. You know, guys like Luvu and Wagner and Martin and Chinn, they're flying around defensively. I have not looked at the snap counts yet, Denton. I want to pull them up. Man, it seemed to me like they were really substituting up front with their D tackles. I mean, there was a lot of Mathis. There was a lot of Johnny Newton. There didn't seem to be as much Payne and Allen as we've seen in recent years. You know, we'd have to ask what the thought process was. Here are the snap counts. First time I've looked at them. D tackles. Allen and Payne did have the majority of snaps. But Newton and Phil Mathis were in there for 34% and 29% of the snaps at D-tackle. Yeah. Look, I know a lot of you are convinced that the D-tackles are the problem. I think the D-ends are a bigger problem in the run game, because there are doubles on Duran and John when they're in the game, and there aren't plays being made by the defensive ends. I would say that's the bigger issue right now. But look, overall, what I didn't like is another defensive performance in which the other team just stayed on the field. And I'll start with, You've got to stop the run in the NFL, and right now Washington is getting gashed in the run. Since the second half of the Tampa Bay game when Bucky Irving ran wild, to Devin Singletary last week, to Chase Brown and Zach Moss last night, they combined for 19 for 120 yards, over 5 yards, over 6 yards per carry they gave up last night on the ground. The only saving grace is that I didn't think Cincinnati stuck with the run enough. I think that they could have run the ball and eaten more clock and kept Jaden Daniels and Washington's offense off the field a little bit more than they did, because they did ultimately in this game, you know, miss a field goal and kick two. You know, they were 2 for 4 in the red zone. Washington can't stop the run right now. There are gap issues. There are double team issues, leaving defensive ends and linebackers to make plays. I do like Luvu. I do like Wagner. I like their intensity. Something ain't right in the run game. If you can't stop the run, you can't be a great team. You know, in today's NFL where offense rules, you can still be a good team and a winning record team, but you can't be a great team when you can't stop the run. And right now, Washington cannot get off the field because, A, they can't stop the run, and then, B, against good quarterbacks with good receivers, they can't cover. And then the trifecta, they're not very good at rushing the passer without sending extra pressure also. 6 for 10, another 60% third down percentage. They're dead last on third down in the league. They gave up 436 yards on just 60 plays. That's 7.3 yards per play. It's not good defensively. You know, I'd like to point out a couple of individual performances here and there. Look, it's situationally, that end of first quarter play, the first play of the second quarter was big. It led to a field goal attempt and a missed field goal that got the score in Washington's favor in a game in which neither team could be stopped. The drive at 31-20, I mean, are you kidding me? Like, can you cover anybody? They went down the field 70 yards in 5 plays in a minute 48. And by the way, on the 2-point conversion, that's pass interference. Washington got away with one on the 2-point conversion. That was clearly, that was chin, right? Chin grabbing in coverage. Looking at my notes, I think it was. Am I right about that? You're not helping me on that one, Denton.
It was Jeremy Chin.
It was Jeremy Chin, right? Yeah. Chin, DPI. That did not get called. Defense, an absolute train wreck right now. And that's the list of things that I didn't like. A few other observations when we come back. Then your calls, 301-230-0980.